Hello and welcome to Isn't It Neat, a podcast where we talk about things we think are neat. My name is Erin and I'm joined by my sisters Helen.
Hello.
And Caitlin.
Hi.
I didn't even ask if you were recording. I'm just assuming that you both are.
Yeah. I am. I hope I am. Hang on, let me check.
Just to check.
I am. It's doing the wiggles.
Excellent. Because that would be really awkward. Like, we're recording.
Like, realized halfway through that, oh no.
Yeah, and they'd be like, do we want to try and remember what we said and say it all
no,
again?
No, you just do like a disclaimer at the start, being like, we are responding to this person who has forgot to turn a recorder on.
Yeah.
It's like 2/3 of a conversation.
Work it out from context clues. Yeah. But we've also had conversations where one of us can't hear or we're completely out of sync and we are talking to each other, just getting really confused.
Yeah. The internet. Mm-hmm. It works so well all the time. No problems ever.
Technology.
So we went on an adventure last weekend.
Yes.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've been on an adventure. Where did we go?
The Porongarups.
Porongarup. We went to the Porongarups. I always call them the Porongarups, but I think it's supposed to be Porongarup Range, Mountain Range, or Porongarup National Park.
Yeah, made up of the Porongarups.
Porongarup. I was just going to sing that the whole way through. I was singing that in the car as well with Marty. So the Porongarup National Park is a national park in the Great Southern region of Western Australia. It's 360 kilometres southeast of Perth and 40 kilometres north of Albany. Albany's at the bottom.
It's cold and wet in Albany.
Yeah, normally. It wasn't so much when we went. It was kind of
I think it was actually crunchy and hot. And drier than it was in Perth.
Yeah, it like in the time Perth had proper rain.
Yeah.
We got like some sprinkles.
And we got, it was heckin' windy and then it was hot and still and then it was windy on the beach again.
Yeah.
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 But it was hot wind.
Yeah. So it's hot wind. So it's about
the most confusing of the winds.
Yeah. Hot wind. It's about a four and a half hour drive.
Big long drive.
To Albany. I always think about Albany because I used to live in Albany. I lived there for a year and a bit. And so I'm always like, we're going out to Albany, but we're actually not quite going there when we go and visit. We've got family there. They have a property.
I think we've talked about that before.
I always forget that it's like a fairly solid drive from the farm to Albany proper.
Yeah, it feels like
I'm always like 15 minutes. It's like half an hour.
No, it's
a good 50Ks.
It's quite a drive.
Got to make a day trip out of it if you're going.
So we drove down. It takes us a while because we took Oscar the doggo, best pod pup ever.
He's definitely up there in pop up awards levels.
He's the bestest pup. Every pup is the bestest pup.
He's pretty excellent. He had a big week beforehand, so I was a bit interested to see how he was going to take the long drive journey, and I think he took it very well. Mm. He was just very ready to be wherever we were going.
Yeah.
So every time we slowed down, he's like, oh, we're here. Oh. It's like, still going. We're back in the car.
3 hours to go, pup. Yes,
we did stop a few times, though. We got to smell interesting things.
We stopped a lot, mostly for him.
And like every time we did slow down, except for the last time.
Yeah.
Oh, by then he was just so tired. And he just sort of resigned himself to the fact that we live in the car now.
Yeah. So it's become sort of an annual pilgrimage to go down in March. We have a long weekend and we go and we visit our grandmother, our grandma Marty, who lives down there. With our aunts and some cousins. And there's usually a collection of miscellaneous family members that congregate that long weekend. Not as many as last year. So this year I got my own room, which is exciting.
Yes.
I had to share with Caitlin and the dog.
Yeah. Caitlin got Uncle Ted's old bed, which is the best bed because it's like memory foam and for old people. Like
it's a pretty good bed.
It's a good bed. I had it last year.
I didn't realize that when I said to Helen that I should have that bed. It was because the other bed has a gap between it and the wall, and I knew Oscar would just slide down that hole.
It's actually, I think it's a couple of stacked mattresses because there was just a dip And then, oh, it's a mattress there, but it was, or it's a funny shaped mattress. I don't know. It
must be funny shape. But yeah, like Oscar would have slid down that gap and then you would have heard stuck. Him crying and frantically yeah. scrabbling.
I'm so. Trapped.
Yeah. And yeah. I didn't know it was Uncle Ted's bed last year until after I'd slept in it and I went, holy shit, this is an amazing bed, like the next morning. And someone's like, oh, yeah, you have Uncle Ted's old bed. I was like, great. yeah. So this year when it was like, oh, Erin, you got your own room, like in the main house, I was like, oh. Oh, it's kind of like I wanted to be back in Uncle Ted's bed, but it's good having my own room. It was good. Yeah. I actually was in a bed that Dad made.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. One of the – I've still got the one he's made here.
I also have one that he made that he's given to me, but it is in my garage.
Yeah, there is a few that kind of wandered around. So Dad made all of our beds as kids.
Yeah, and just a wooden frame.
Yeah, just a wooden pine bed. Single bed, and I had that the whole time I ever lived at home. like my bed. yeah. So I was like, this Michael... looks like one of Dad's beds. So anyway, the Porongarups, I've been looking at the Wikipedia entry because that is the kind of research I do for this podcast. so it like just gives you a good overview. Oh, hello, Trixie.
Oh, is Trixie joining us today?
Yeah, I don't know if you heard her say hello.
I did. I heard it.
Hi, baby. There's noise in the background for me. Like,
you know, Trixie's yeah, little cackle.
She went meep and she comes, she's sitting in my lap. He's a good girl. Yeah, okay. So the Porongara Range is the relic core of an ancient mountain range formed in the Pre-Cambrian.
Yeah, it's one of the oldest mountain ranges in the world. 1,200
million years ago, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I looked up Precambrian because I was like, what's that? And it's like the beginning of time.
The forever agos.
Yeah, in the before times.
Yeah, it's like the oldest.
And you know it's an old mountain range because there's not much like jagged edges. It's all sort of smoothed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's
wind's been over time.
Yeah. Where is it? Wind. It's the highest point is Devil Slide at 670 meters. I'm not sure if that's above sea level or just above ground level. And then Nancy's Peak is 644 meters and Castle Rock is 558 meters. And we've been to the top of Castle Rock.
Yes, and we nearly killed Helen doing it.
Yeah, Helen nearly died. Helen hasn't been to the top. She didn't.
I was
quite
almost
make
the
it.
Top. There was a bench just below there.
Yeah.
Just the rest spot.
So we went up. So it's got the granite skywalk because there's like this balancing rock at the top of the hill bit. And they've built this like skywalk that's got 360 degree views.
380 degree
380 my brain it farted.
360 is the whole way
360
around.
Is all the way around. Yeah. Just had this like, is it 360 or 380?
I was trying to work out what 380 meant.
I know, it's like 180 is half of that, so.
Oh yeah, 180. That's where there's 80. Oh, right. Yeah,
okay, cool. Thank you for passing that for us, Helen, because I was lost.
I was like, where would 8 come from? I was like, it's 90 degree, 180 degree. Oh, no.
Yeah, there it is. Thank you. And so Porongarup is an Indigenous word. We don't know what it means, though, which is sad. So, another thing I want to talk about. So a lot of place names in the southern half of Western Australia, if they're Noongar words, which is the Indigenous First Nations people, there's a lot of place names ending in the suffix up.
Like Nowangarup.
Nowangarup. Porongarup. There's a whole list. Amalup, Badgerup, Bailup, Bulgarup, Bailingup, Banjup, mm-hmm. Barragup. It goes alphabetical.
Manjumup,
yeah. And there's a misconception that up means near water or like place of water. It actually just means like, place of.
Yeah.
They just happen to all mostly be near water because they're the places of interest. Yeah. Like you want to know where
it's
water
like,
is.
Like that's where you put your city. You put it near water.
Yeah.
So it's your settlement important stopping place. Yeah.
Yeah. And so Wikipedia has like a list of place names and the meanings where they're known. And I was like, ooh. So Boyanup is a place of quartz. And Cardup is the place of the racehorse Goanna. which is fun. But then I got down to Prongerup and it's just blank. They don't know. And I was like, oh, that's a shame.
Disappoint.
Yeah, disappoint.
Sad how much history that we lose.
Trixie, are you right there?
She's wiggling around.
She's like sitting like a human on my lap. But she's kind of all floppy and like attached to the little blanket I've got on the desk. She's so funny. Yeah, you might hear some purring. No apologies. You're welcome. Yeah, so Prongrip's cool. So the minning and the coring or goring subgroups of the Nuar people is where the Prongrup kind of, the mountain range kind of borders the two lands. So the minning people are down Albany Way at the bottom and the coring/goring people are like above that.
Mm.
That's their country. Oh, it says, hang on, Prongrup or Borongup means totem in Noongar.
The place of totem.
I mean, that kind of makes sense because of the shapes of the rocks and.
Yeah. There are some really cool rocks down there. I'm always like impressed by the rocks. And even before I looked up the Precambrian thing, if you go all the way down to Albany and you go right at the bottom of the world and it's like the Southern Ocean, which is freezing. I don't know why people swim in it. They're a bit crazy. There's just all these big rocks and it looks like from the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And you always get that kind of existential, like you're there and you're like, these rocks have been here since the beginning of time.
Yeah, the rocks seem to have been there since the beginning of time. It's a very specific biodiversity. It's like quite a lot of interesting plants in that area. Mm. Like you know when you're in the southwest because it just looks different. There's so many more like carry trees
Southern.
And like the bushes and things, yeah.
Great Southern.
Yeah.
And like that offsets the rocks. So like it's just really pretty.
Yes.
It's really pretty to look at. And there's so many really good like lookout areas. And like
where did we go at the wedding with that sort of window like rock?
Yeah, closer to Denmark. Yeah, and there's all these like lumps of rock in the ocean. Like these little islands and stuff. And some of them have like a lighthouse on them or something. It's very cool.
Helen's talking about the day that we went down for the wedding and we looked at the with the water was all like psh.
Oh, the next day when we went to the gap.
Yes.
Yeah, and the blowholes. Yeah. Yeah, the gap. Which is there's like a natural stone bridge that's slowly being eroded away and they've built this like platform thing because so many there's a name for it. I saw it. Hang on. There's
so many people would have walked up on that rock anyway.
The Albany coastline is notorious for deaths due to king waves washing people off rocks.
Yep.
Yes. Yep.
Oh, they call it its rugged coastline.
Yes.
Yeah, there's a lot. Yeah, a lot of people have died because they want to get the perfect selfie right out on the rock.
Wave comes along, swallows them up, and they get smashed against all the rocks down there.
And they don't realize that you can't run away from a king wave. When it's got you, that's it. You stay back at a safe distance because that gives you the opportunity to get back. Not
nature. And I think that's part of the whole that sort of these rocks have been here from the beginning of time and we are so insignificant and a wave just could like snuff you out, like that whole mother nature so strong. I do like looking at the rocks down there.
It's like rocks are
so
cool.
there is Prongerup town. Which,
yes.
I'm like, I don't know that I've actually.
Isn't that a logging town? Or it was a logging town?
Yeah. So the main.
Exports?
Yeah. Industry?
Industries, yeah.
Industry is trees.
Yep.
So Carrie and Mary?
Carrie and Mary?
Carrie and Mary?
So they're relatively decent semi-hard or hardwoods?
Yeah.
They're very pretty woods and they're quite good for building shit with. They just take a while to grow.
Yeah, and you can see there's the like forests where they're all planted exactly the
right distance apart. So it's just like rows and rows and rows of trees.
Yes.
And then they go and chop them all down. Yeah, but they like alternate. Yeah, so when you're in there, so we access the family's property from a dirt road, which is fun. In your little car. Yeah, it's very corrugated on the way.
End of a long drive. Everyone's a bit tired and had been rattled by like the high speeds on country road. And then we hit the gravel.
And it's
which was very variegated because like the various rains and such. And we just got a little bit shooked, so we had to go slow.
That was fun. But when you're driving through there, it's like property, farm, property, and like cows or whatever, and then there'll be like a bit of national park where it's all bush and kangaroos. Yeah. And that, you're like, when there's one kangaroo, there's more. It's quite scary when you
and
see
the people like, who don't know, you will never win a fight with a kangaroo in your car. The best thing that you can do is just don't swerve and hope that the collision isn't that bad.
And then there'll be the bits of like the pine, not the pine, like the Mary plantations.
The Mary forest, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, there's the plantation.
Giant Carrie and Jarra trees as well.
Yes.
Mary Jarra, I don't know.
Yeah.
So Jarra's the really hard tree. The Mary and the Carrie are hard trees, but they're really pretty woods. They're like golden through to like a really nice sort of almost rusty colour. Yeah.
And then they carry honey, which is nice.
Yes. Oh. The good honeys.
Lots of honey.
Yes.
So we went, we may have gone into the town. We went somewhere where there was a market, which was not as impressive as last year.
Where was that?
The freaking old market. I don't know. It was on the road. The like Prongara
road.
It's a road
and there was some sort of, I can't remember.
It's like a little B&B and this property and
it's
someone
actually,
hosts the market.
It's a little almost shop. Convenience store style, that it's like a country one grocery store, and the guy has the across the road is a camper,
yes,
park place.
Caravan park. They look kind of like a touristy a little bit.
Yeah, and when the overflow, he's got a couple of little apartments set up, which looked really cute. So
yeah. They got these little like triangle huts.
Yes,
they look cute.
And they're all painted pretty.
Yeah. And Oscar's best friend,
Toby
was there.
It's like
grandma's dog.
Yeah.
So opened the door and Toby barreled out with, oh my God, you're here and you've brought Oscar.
Yeah.
Monday's
Oscar,
friend.
We stopped and Oscar was like, are we stopping for like real? And we all got out of the car and he's like, we have stopped and went to do a zoomie. But he's been there. We went there last year. So he's been there before and he's quite good at remembering places he's been because he straight away was like, hang on a second, I know this place, and went to the front door and we couldn't get in. We had to go around the side and lock the front door on us.
Yeah.
And we went around the side and he's just like having the greatest time ever. And then Toby was there and he just went, completely overexhausted puppy. He was overtired before we even left, and then he's like extra overtired because he missed all of his naps. For the drive.
And he had to do a big play.
And
Toby
had to do a big
doesn't,
play.
Toby doesn't get out much because he's our grandma's dog and he's the nanny dog for her. So she
he's more of a night nurse. Like he watches her and makes sure that she's good at night.
Always making sure that she's okay. And other people have offered to take him for walks, but he can't. He must have always have sight of Marty, which is very, very sweet.
Yeah.
But he got to go.
Marty's his person.
So we went to the market. So that was number one adventure. Got his like harness and lead out, and he was like, "Oh my goodness,
we've got visitors
going out,
and we're best friends out. Here, and we're going out." It was underwhelming. There weren't many stall holders at the market, which is a bit
too. To be fair, though, there was a big festival happening the few days prior, and the weather was forecast to be like turning. Quite rapidly.
Yeah, so, it was forecast for like quite a big storm, but that didn't really happen.
That cyclone is just throwing all the weather patterns off.
Yeah, it was small. So we didn't spend much time as we thought we would there. And so we went back home, back to the farm. And
And he's like, wow, that was a great adventure. Like, he was just, he, yeah.
Oh, the whole everything. Time he was crying and like, I want to Zoom, but I have to stay here. But oh yeah, my God, yeah. I don't
we must see everything now. I must see everything right now. And then once we got all the way to the end, he calmed down a little bit and then we walked back and he was still excited, but he was like, okay, I've seen everything. It's okay.
Meanwhile, Oscar's like, hello, my people. Yes, love me. I am your God. Like,
yeah,
welcome it's to the market handsome. That's clearly been held for me.
Yes. And then we went back home and then we decided we'd go into Albany to get some lunch.
Yes.
Sit on the at the beach.
Like, and we like, yeah, we planned to go to the beach so we could take and the dogs with us again.
And then we got his harness out again and the look on his face, he was like, oh my God, again?
Yeah,
two in one day? Again? Yeah, two in one day. Yeah, he had a great time. And Oscar also learnt that he was not the boss of the house. He met the boss of the house.
The boss of the house is called Harry.
A chonky orange cat.
Chonky orange cat with strong opinions about everything. And
you, I sniff
it.
You. You don't sniff me.
Yeah, there was a few times that Oscar would run past and like get a sneaky butt sniff in, just like, whoop.
Yeah,
like,
so it started coming into the house and Harry being like, I remember you. You're a terrible dog. And Oscar being like, we're best friends, right? And Harry being like, no. And he did. Harry's an excellent cat to teach a dog not to approach cats because he did punch Oscar, but he did it without his claws out. Like he was just like, and Oscar, for the first time in his life,
manners.
Has met a non-friend.
Yeah.
He was like, not a friend. And then he's like, no, maybe. And he was like, oh, he's not a friend.
he got punched a few times. And he, in a training way, like Harry's very good.
You are just a baby and I am the boss. Listen carefully.
And Oscar was so desperate to be his friend. And then he was so, like, concerned. He was like, he doesn't like me. And so Harry would deliberately put himself in the middle of, like, the walkway and Oscar would be on the other side playing with Toby and then he has to come in and check on me and he can't get to me because Harry's in the way and he's trying to work out how he's to crying, navigate like, the space.
Big monster in the way, I can't.
And then, like, squeezing along the wall and doing, like, little, like, hoppy jumps to get past faster or waiting until Harry turns his face away just a little bit so he can, like, sneak past him. It was very sweet. But Oscar's 18 months old as well and he's manifesting his fear period as he needs to be able to know he has access to me and that's it. Like that's the only thing he's worried about. So he'll go away and play but if he can't come back and say hi, it's the saddest thing that's ever happened to him.
When you went on the drive up, when you went to the toilet at lunchtime, he cried so hard.
Saddest puppy in the world.
And he did the same when we went to get lunch down in Albany. So we found ourselves a park bench and sat there and then you went off with Helen together and I was holding him and he was vibrating. And he was crying and he was just staring like off in the direction that you'd gone. And like he slowly, I think you were gone for about 20 minutes. Like it was quite a long time.
It felt like a long time.
It took a while.
And he slowly got closer and closer to me until he was leaning on me and vibrating. And
Auntie Erin, she's left me forever.
It was very
sweet. Auntie Erin also doesn't understand his needs.
And then it was funny because on the way home, we stopped at Williams and I needed to go to the toilet. So I went to the toilet. When I came out, you'd lined up with Oscar.
Yes.
So when you got to the front of the line, I took Oscar and I was like, let's go under this tree. And he's like, nope. So we're there. Yeah. And it was confusing because some of the people are like, are you waiting in the line or not? And I'm like, no, we just can't move from this spot where he last could see his mother. And he wasn't really vibrating. He was just looking anxious and like a couple of small whines and they're like, oh my God, the poor puppy, he's so anxious. I'm like, oh, you have seen nothing. This is nothing. This is like level 1 out of 10.
For a whippet, Oscar's highest anxiety level is maybe a 2 on the whippet scale.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's a pretty chill whippet. So we went down to Albany and which is a port city, right at the bottom. It's got some cool rocks at the bottom there too. It is actually the oldest colonial settlement in WA.
Yes.
Which I think I knew but had forgotten. You know, those things. Like, next time I read it, I'll be like, ah. There were other settlements, European settlements, but not the, like, British colonial settlements. So, it's 2 years older than Perth and Fremantle. And it was part of New South Wales. It was a semi-exclave of New South Wales, and then was made part of the Swan River Colony, which is Perth and Fremantle. And it was a military outpost, and that's why there's a lot of cool old buildings there. They've got a lot of heritage buildings, which is that kind of sandstone.
There's a great Anzac Museum as well.
Yeah, and they had that big old boat out the front there.
Yep. Oh, the Amity.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Amity. I think that's a replica.
Yeah, it looks like
a real one. The Amity was one of those boats, and it's Dutch, I think. Or is that the Doifken? I can't remember. There's these teeny little boats that went from Europe to Australia, and you're like, how did you survive? It's just wild. Yeah.
It looks big when you're on the ground and you get on it and you're like, I've been on this for several months. Yeah. And the waves that coming at you
with big all your old best ocean. Friends, sailor mates. it's wild.
And your ship cat, because you needed a ship cat for luck and to keep the rats away.
Yeah, it eats the rats, and once it's run out of rats, that's it. Doesn't have any food. And it was something that is kind of wild to me is that it was what do they call it? The war stuff. Like, it was an outpost for World War One. It's so weird because it was the last port of call for all of the troop ships departing Australia. Mm-hmm. So all of the ships, like the Anzacs, they all like congregated in King George Sound, which is the bottom of Albany. And they thought that it was going to be attacked. So there was this outpost at the top of Mount Clarence.
Oh, yeah. And so we went up there with Dad, didn't
we? Yeah, yeah. I've been up there a few times, and there's like old little dugouts and stuff, and there's like they actually like manned it because they're like, we might get attacked.
Yeah, it's the key point of ship travel from the west coast of Australia to Europe and Africa.
Yeah.
And it's also all of the shipping containers actually pass this way to get to the eastern states as well.
Mm, like underneath.
So in theory, we should get our deliveries faster than them.
Yeah.
It shouldn't have to go all the way to Melbourne and come all the way back.
And then it has to come all the way back. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Anyway. And the reason why it was so concerning is because it was a stockpile. It was a place where it was like the last batch could be called from, where it's in a relatively safe area but can reach the situation quite quickly, depending on like where they needed to be called to.
Yeah.
And like Darwin's another point that was like if something bad's going to happen, it's probably going to happen here because of
either at the location. Very top or the very bottom.
Yeah. Because of the point of contacts.
Yeah. Yeah. It's very colonial, I find it. Like even like the whaling, there was a whaling station there, and that was one of the main industries for many, many years.
Have you been to the Whaling Museum?
Yes, we like all have.
When
yes.
we were very little.
Helen was two, yes. I went as an adult recently.
Yeah, I haven't been as an adult.
I've obviously cleaned like the whole area up so it doesn't smell like whaling anymore. But like you're watching like the videos and like looking at the exhibitions and you're like, I can like envision almost what it would have smelt like and like what it would have felt like. And it's just like they go out in these little boats and they find the whales and they go bam, bam, bam. And then they just keep going and then they come back chugging them all back and it's just like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah,
it's quite horrifying. And
it was the only
open until 1977.
Yep.
Or 1978.
Yes.
And I was reading something about the beach next door to the whaling station.
Yes.
It's called Misery Beach.
Yeah.
Because it was so close to the whaling station that all the offal and blood and everything like washed ashore, and the sand and the water was always red. But then in 2022, it was named Tourism Australia Best Beach by Tourism Australia, yeah. Because wow. It ticks all the boxes of what a typical beachgoer is looking for. It's uncrowded, it's crystal white sand, turquoise waters, and a very dramatic granite backdrop. Cool rocks.
Yeah, so there's 30 plus years of it slowly healing where humans are like, oh, yeah. Bad shit happened
and everyone
there.
Kind of going, ew, go. Misery Beach, not going there.
Yeah. And now it's this beautiful, pristine, gorgeous beach, which goes to show that when humans leave things alone, it's better.
Yeah. Yeah. I love the photo. Just on the Wikipedia page is like photos of buildings, and then there's the beaches and the view of like some rocks from the top of Mount Clarence, and another lovely beach, and then some whales. Oh, there's a wind farm, and then Dog Rock.
Yeah, Dog Rock. I love Dog Rock.
Dog Rock's cute because so Dog Rock is in Albany. It's just kind of randomly pretty close to the center of town. It's just there, but it looks like a dog's head with its like nose popping up, and a collar has been painted around the base of it, so it looks like a dog. It's called Dog Rock, and then so the whole like suburb around it's called Dog Rock as well.
Yeah, and it's not like in a park or anything. It's like a curb away from the road, so you're like, you just drive past
and then there's
and
buildings
like,
and
a
stuff
second.
Around it. There was, I remember when I lived down there, there was an April Fool's joke but from the mayor that came out in the local rag of that they were thinking about as an electoral promise, like moving Dog Rock to the big roundabout, because there's this, when you come down Albany Highway from Perth, you land at this massive roundabout that's got 5 exits, and it's not bad, but if you don't know where you're going, you could end up going anywhere, and you're like, where am I?
And
you
and
don't
it,
have
it
very
feels
long
quite
to make
overwhelming
a decision.
At the end of a long drive to have to work out which one
what
of
lane.
The 5 spokes you need to be in.
Yeah. But once you're kind of used to it, you're like, oh, yeah, I know exactly how. But so there was this thing, you're going to move it to the big roundabout. And the outcry, people outrage. It's like, guys, it's an April Fool's joke. It's okay. We're not going to move Dog Rock. Because people have named their businesses after this rock. And if you move the rock, like, where they'll have to rename
it. Then it doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
It was like, everyone saw a funny shaped rock and was like, this is cool. Let's build around it, not move it or anything.
Oh, yeah. Humans do that all the time. Like, yeah. This tree looks like this. That's funny. Mm. Let's put a sign.
And everything takes at least 10 minutes, if not 15 minutes, to get to, no matter where you are in Albany, because you always have to go around some rock or some mountain. Like, it's not flat. It's very hilly and there's random rocks and things.
Which is completely normal for, like, most other, like, cities and such, but Perth is very flat. We're not used to hills.
It's very flat, Perth is just flat and it's sand. Like, it's really not a
it's
good...
Like, it's like on the riverbank that just kept going.
Yeah, it's just sandy. Yeah. Can't grow things like grass in your yard.
Grass is stupid anyway.
Grass grows anywhere except where you want it to grow. That's how it works.
I have been trying to kill my grass.
Oh my god! Can I have
forever.
Your grass?
You can come and take it. I don't want
I'm
it.
Take it. We'll transplant it. We'll see if it like.
I've been
die.
Attempting to murder it from the beginning. It is still here, and it is invading my garden beds, and I do not appreciate it at all.
Mm. Yeah.
Anyway, Dog Rock.
We spent the afternoon in Albany. It was kind of cloudy. It was nice and it was cool. The breeze was cool enough that I like kept putting on my jacket, and then I was too hot and took my jacket off, and then I was too cold and put it back on. It was that in between kind of temperature.
Yeah. See, I wore a running jacket, like a really lightweight jacket that's meant for when you're running. And I was like, I am a genius.
Yeah. I feel like normally in March, it's already winter in Albany because it has its own completely different weather pattern. It's very similar to Tasmania, which is why the film that they're currently filming down there is set in Tasmania, but it's all filmed down in Albany because it looks like it's Tasmania and the weather's the same.
Pretty much.
Except that they've had this really, really hot summer, which we've also had up here,
But it's been hotter down there, weirdly, because the cyclones messed everything up with the weather patterns as well.
And everything was crunchy. Grass is dead. It was like,
Everything was yellow and brown.
Yeah, normally
we've never been
green.
To Albany and seen it even slightly dehydrated.
It's always wet and green.
It's always wet and green and cold.
There was a really big fire in the Prongerup National Park in 2007, which is not that long. I feel it's actually ages ago, but it's not that
17 years
like,
ago.
Yeah.
Adults, Erin, that have been born since.
a fire began on a property near the northwest corner of the national park, and then it spread along the rear boundaries of a bunch of properties and then into the national park, and then there's volunteer fire service, like there's the normal fire service, but whenever there's a fire in Albany and just like everywhere else, even though it's greener and wetter usually down in Albany, there's still fires, and like people just
because it's Australia.
Put on their fire jackets and off they go, because you need to jump on that fire really soon. But this one ended up going through the entire park. It burnt through about 95% of it. So they're saying it's the most devastating fire since the 1960s. And then they had to do a lot of like remedial work, because like there's a lot of wine. It's a wine region down there, so there's big wineries, and they still held their annual wine festival, obviously because you have stuff in storage and things. That must have been.
Yeah, they had to do recovery for quite a few years to get back to where they were.
Yeah, and so a lot of the park was closed for quite a while.
Yeah.
It's February yet. Yeah, so it's February the fire happened, and then some of the park reopened in like September that year. Yeah, so you can still get and that the kind of weather they're having down there, it's like, it's ripe for a big, massive fire. Everything's really dry.
Yeah.
And, like, just to get, like, the context of how big this fire was, there is a photo on the conservative.nasa.gov website of the 2007 fire showing all of the smoke going all the way across to the Great Australian Bight.
Oh, heck.
Yeah, it was
that's a long way.
Huge.
That's, like, to South Australia.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I like the NASA website. Pictures are amazing.
Yeah. Very cool. Yes, very. Fires are not fun. I've had a few local to me in the last few weeks.
We had the few that was last year before when I was still going to school. I remember coming driving back and seeing the smoke, and they're like, oh, is that near our house? No, it's further north.
It's part of life.
It looked really close every time
we
drove
towards
it. Orange
zone.
Yeah, it's a part of life.
We could smell the smoke. It was that kind of,
And there is a season. So every year in Perth you'll get people going, oh, there's so much smoke. And it's like it's
burning
the
off
season.
Season
for burning
off. Because the bush
is
designed.
But you have to register. There is a regulatory body that, because they don't want too much smoke around in the air, so they can only do a certain amount of burning off fires.
It is this massive undertaking because they have to balance the weather conditions, the wind speed, the likelihood of the wind speed changing, the weather itself.
Which is highly likely here. We're very windy and the wind just goes, what? I'm going this way now.
Yeah. And ideally it would shift to fold the fire back on the bit that you've already burnt, so it like puts itself out. And that's like the perfect condition.
That's what they're all hoping for.
Yeah. they're planning it. And they have to wait for a window where it's not, because we don't have low fire danger in Western Australia. Yeah. I'm not sure about the other states.
Not until the depths of winter when it's really soggy. Maybe we'll hit
All summer. Erin, the fire danger in the depths of soggiest winter is medium.
I just in my head I'm like, lowest possible.
The bush is designed to burn. They kind of evolved around that because it burns and then they drop their seeds and it all grows again.
Certain bushes do, yes. Yeah, so there's, it's a bit of a harsh climate that we're in, but you know, whatever. And like the point is the maintenance that is being done to prevent there being such ridiculous bushfires specifically in the Perth area is they do fire breaks and they do burning off of fuel areas as
brush
best they can manage. Yeah. And it's planned and it's like discussed and they make sure it's not going to affect like habitats
and then there'll be like an actual fire and they're like, oh damn it, there's an extra fire that's out of control and now there's too much smoke for the population.
So they can't do too much preventative because they need to have forces in reserve in case something goes wrong somewhere else or some wonderful person decides to do a stupid thing and light something
like light
on fire.
A flare or like
Or go around one of our beautiful national parks and just throw cigarettes in the entrance.
It was always really cool during burning off season whenever I drove from Albany back up to Perth because you'd get up the top. I suppose it's like, Helen, what's that national park that's at the top near you, Katie? Like the Armidale area?
The Darling Ranges National Park?
Darling Ranges, yeah, I guess.
The one that I tell you about all the time and you keep forgetting.
Yeah. And we did like a whole episode on it too.
Yeah, that one.
But it spreads down so you are like driving through it for a bit. And I'd often drive back up to Perth at night. So I'd finish work on Friday and load up the car and just drive up. So by the time I got up towards Perth, it would be dark and they would have been burning off during the day and you're driving through and the fires are all out, but the trees are glowing like golden because they've still got like they're still smoldering with the embers and things. And it was really beautiful.
I feel like that would have been the Dwelling Up or Jarrahdale State Forest because it's further south than the.
Yeah. It's kind of connected though. It's kind of all.
Oh, yeah. It's all connected. Like if you look on a map, it's the big green swath that goes on the like eastern side of Perth all the way down. But yes, and it's real cool and spooky. And when you're driving in the daytime and you've got like the perfect conditions for a burn off is zero wind, effectively.
Because
then
there's no
chance
it's going
to go in a bad dream. But every now and then they do. So if you're driving around when there's like really low wind or zero wind and like you get the slight hill that we do have in Perth, if you're driving through it, it's like you get to the top of the hill and it's like beautiful sunny day. And then there's just like smoke.
Yeah,
that like you drive down into, and then you're in this orange phase, and then you go back up into the like sky again. It's great, but yes, like clockwork, every year someone will go on complaining about how there's it's enough of an irritant that I understand like allergies and those with asthma, but at the same time, significantly better than like
than an actual bushfire.
The smoke of a bushfire, because when the smoke of a bushfire comes through, everyone is like, oh my gosh.
Like not that long ago that an entire suburb was just swathed in smoke and it was a chemical fire too, so
they had to evacuate because a warehouse went up.
That's right.
See,
like, what is going on? It's not chemical, it's one of those things though.
I can tell
the difference. When you go outside and you smell smoke, you kind of know what time of year it is and you're like, bushfire or, oh, they're just burning off.
Yeah. I think it's the amount of smoke. Like you can tell the difference.
Yeah, and the time of year as well. Like this time of year, if you smell bushfire smoke, you're like, it's a bushfire. It's not burning off because it's like total fire ban all summer pretty much.
We have extreme fire risk and total fire ban. There are days where you're not even supposed to have an outdoor barbecue type fire band out in like areas that are high, like extra high risk.
Yeah, because if like the grass like feels slightly warmer, it's going to catch fire.
Yeah. Oh yeah, or like you look at a tree the wrong way, it'll just burst into flames.
It's too warm. Yeah. It's too warm.
Spontaneous combustion gets so hot.
Yeah,
yeah, that's great. Yeah, good old. We love our fireys and our emergency.
It's really impressive.
Volunteers and our water dumping helicopters.
Oh, the bomber.
We used to go and watch them fly over the house to get to the lakes.
Yeah.
Fill up and dump
water.
That was
very exciting.
Yeah. You can always tell when the water bombers are out because it's really loud.
Yeah. Yeah. And you can see them with their little hose dangling.
Anyway, what were we talking about? Albany.
Yeah, and they're putting up some fires and stuff. Yeah, so hopefully there's no fire down there because it's very, very dry at the moment.
We're only about 6 to 8 weeks away from our relatively safe from fire season.
Yeah, we're coming into the end of summer. into autumn.
It's everyone's waiting for it because, gosh, it's been a summer.
Yep. I would like to go up Castle Rock again. I reckon that would be fun.
Yes. I think maybe we don't do it in a summer visit. We go in a winter visit and then go up.
It was an unnaturally warm day and we went right at midday.
Yeah, because we
weren't prepared. Yeah, we faffed about and like we.
I was ready to go at 7.
So yeah, it's fun. We like going down there. It's always a big adventure.
Mm.
Long drive. Long drive. I hate that drive.
Driving back, it felt really quick though, but I don't know if that was just because Dad likes to go fast.
Yeah, but you wouldn't have
stopped as often as
we stopped quite often for Oscar. We got stuck in a convoy.
Yes.
Everyone Dad was leaving. To avoid the convoys.
Yeah, that's what.
And this is the bit that Erin drove on the way back. Erin had one stint of driving on the way back because I was feeling quite good, so I was able to do quite a lot more of the driving this time. And then
I drove from Barker to Kojonup.
And that was when we were stuck in the convoy. And like,
and you could see it snaking up
frustrated
like miles ahead.
Like, whereas the bits where I drove, I missed part of the convoy. But because like I'm quite happy to just sort of sit in and listen to my music. And also for the Erin read more of the book.
Yeah,
it's in
story
me.
Time. Yeah.
Story time into a car. And so like that was happening. So I was quite fine just like driving along. I was more frustrated with the people who sped up going up hills and then slowed down on the flats or going downhill. And it's
and
like
tailgated you really close.
Yeah. That was
still
more,
doing
I was
like around 100
about safety,
and
yeah.
then they like overtake and it's like, oh my God. Like,
but they weren't overtaking me. They were overtaking me and the 5 cars in front of me that were going slow. So it was really dangerous. And I was really concerned that we were going to see an accident because it was a long weekend. Oh, and I got breathalyzed.
Oh, yeah. Dad got breathalyzed too.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. As we're going up.
It was really well set up. So they took us all the way off the road and they could take quite a few cars through. And I rolled Oscar's window down because we'd stopped and he was like, we're stopping. And I was like, we're not actually stopping, Oscar. So I let him have like a sniff of the area. And then the police lady was like explaining to me about blowing and then made friends with Oscar and forgot to tell me to stop blowing.
And you're like, oh, that's totally, yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's an acceptable
understandable.
Reason.
Yeah, that's
acceptable. He's charming.
There was another station up further that we didn't get waved into as well.
Yeah.
We skipped the first one and the got waved into the second one. Yeah.
The bit that I don't like about the drive is that last sort of 20 minutes when you're basically back in the city, but you're not quite back in the city, and every turn you're like, there's a traffic light coming up. And everyone drives like dingbats.
It's 90 and it's dual carriageway.
Yeah.
And it's quite a long way before you get to that first set of lights.
But it's not though. It's only like 5 kilometers or something. Like
but
it's
you're
not
only doing 90.
Yeah, but it like feels so much longer because you're paying a lot more attention because the dingbats are dingbatting. And you're going around these corners and you're expecting that set of lights just to pop up any minute. And then they do, and then I'm home, and then you have to drive another half hour to get to your house.
It is a disadvantage of being a tourist and going down with the other tourists is that you're it's very obviously city drivers. And like our way down wasn't so bad, but the way back up was like, this is everyone who's gone down from the weekend now coming back up at the same time. And driving very unsafely. Whereas when I lived down there, I'd go reverse. So when everyone was coming down, I'm going back up. And when everyone's coming back up, I'm going back down. So like I just competed with trucks and stuff.
Yeah.
And people keep their distance and things. You're like, it's 110. It's a country road. Maybe leave like 10 car lengths instead of one. Like,
yeah, you
want to
leave the 3-second gap, which the faster you go, the bigger the gap. But it did save a few crashes a couple of times where someone slid into the gap between us and the next car right before like a truck came around the corner or a caravan came around the corner. So
yeah,
people be better about driving.
Yes, I did. And I guess like, especially in the daytime, there's not that much risk of things like kangaroos jumping out on a road like Albany Highway that is
that
big
busy,
and wide and like fairly safe. in terms of country driving, like it's built to be safe. But then it's kind of straight and long and goes forever, which makes it boring, which means you want to sleep. Yeah.
Yeah, Dad was like, towards the end, he was like, I'm bored now because there's no CD player in his car. So we had no music. It was very sad.
Because it's a new car, he's got to hook up the Spotify. The
Bluetooth,
And I was like, oh, I don't have my phone. It's not.
Yeah, and I suppose in the city, he just listens to the radio, doesn't he?
Yep.
Yeah, because he just toodles around.
Yeah. We had my iPod.
We had songs.
And we had
it's
my
so quiet coming my up.
Your Spotify.
Because I downloaded a bunch of stuff to listen to.
We just listened to every version of Rebecca from Rebecca.
Yeah.
Which is awesome.
Okay, so it was on a shuffle of all of my like songs. So there was like a little bit of classical
music.
Played
like three Rebeccas in a row.
Three Rebeccas in a row because it knows that they belong together. And a couple of like musicals. So every now and then you'd all just start singing.
Yeah.
Or you'd laugh because it was another
like,
Rebecca.
Oh, it's another
playing.
Rebecca. I suppose in terms of number of songs, there's a high proportion of them are Rebecca. So they're going to come up on the shuffle.
Yeah.
So that was our adventure down to the Porongarups. It's quite beautiful down there. I do like going down there. And we get to see our grandma and some family and everything and have a good time.
Yay.
And Pat Harry. We saw
Pat Harry.
Get some
hello, TV Pat.
He's a majestic creature with his snaggle tooth.
His so round belly. He does a good loaf.
He loafs pretty good. He's a good solid cat. We might have some photos of Harry up on maybe Blue Sky or Instagram or Twitter or Threads or all of those things. So you can find us there. You can also join our Discord server. Or you can email us, and all the links are in the show notes to this episode. We would also really appreciate it if you'd leave a rating or review on your podcast platform of choice, if you have that ability, and even just tell a friend about us. Thanks for listening. Now go and enjoy something you think is neat.